Well, good morning, guys. What a great way to start the week to gather together as the people of God. And for you guys online as well, wherever you may be, that we get to collectively come together under the authority of Jesus, hear about him, revel in him, and celebrate him, and then go out from here and declare him. And so, great gift, right? My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. So glad that I could be here. And we are continuing in our series on Ephesians. So if you have not been here the entire time, we got you covered, okay? You can go online and access everything Ephesians that we have covered. This is mosaic.org. You can go there and you can listen to everything. You can pay attention to all of that stuff if you have not heard it. Even if you have heard it, you can go back and review it. And you can dive into this even deeper, because essentially all that I'm doing today is, again, starting the conversation. That's the privilege that we have as pastors to communicate that. We get the ball rolling, and then in your missional communities, you can take this even deeper. You can do that in Zoom calls or in person, whatever God may have for you there. You can dive deeper in it with people that are friends of yours. You can go afterwards, whether it's from here or whether you're online. You can go and just hang out with friends, talk about this deeper, see how it might apply to our lives. Essentially, you can get a PhD in Ephesians if you want. Right? So it's all there. And so we'd encourage you to access that and just dive in deeper, because as we dive in deeper, essentially what we're going to see happen today is what Paul announced in chapter 4, verse 13, what it looks like to move on to mature manhood and resemble Jesus in every way. Like, that's the big E on the I chart right there. And so what we've seen in Ephesians is the first three chapters, as is typical with Paul, what he does is he gives us this theological discourse, all of these theological truths, all these doctrines. So for three chapters, we get this incredible unpacking of the gospel. And then, as is the case with Paul, he switches gears. That's chapter 4 and beyond. What he does is he takes all of that doctrine, all of those theological convictions, and he says, here's what it looks like to take that and rightly apply it to your life. And so he begins to do that in chapter 4. And so that we would, here, we see start unpacking, that we would be mature, that we would resemble Jesus in every way, that I would, and that you would, and you would, and you would, and then you guys online, that we would all individually resemble Jesus. But in verse 13, he also uses the word all. So it's not just you and you and you and me, but it's us together corporately, that we would also wrap our arms around that as a church, so that we can engage in what God has for us. And as we do that, what begins to happen as we individually and corporately move forward in this idea of moving forward in maturity, resembling Jesus in every way, what begins to happen is we see what Paul starts unpacking in chapter 4, that we would be unified around the gospel. That we would be so about the glory of God that our unity would be staggering in that. And that we would not be tossed around by every opinion, by every doctrine, by every philosophy, by every ideology. It's not here a truth, there a truth, everywhere a truth, truth kind of thing. And we kind of mash it all together and create in us this idea. It's like, no, this is what I believe, but it's actually taking biblical truth and letting it guide our lives, so that the gospel is what is bearing fruit in us. And in the end, what happens is we're committing to living our story for God's story. It's like it's all about him, and it's about his name and making him known. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open up to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today. If you are using one of Mosaic's Bibles, that's on page 1080. And so if you're using a smart device, you can go ahead and go to whatever program you use. And in that program, we're going to be using the ESV version if you would like to follow along. So
as we're exploring what this whole idea of maturity looks like, there's this critical piece that we need to unpack today, that as we begin to get our arms around that, we begin to see what it looks like for us to journey forward in our process of becoming a mature disciple of Jesus, what it looks like to be a student of his. So I want to share some information here real quick that I think will help just kind of frame where we're going today. All right, so I did a little bit of research, and in the research that I found, did you know that the average American speaks somewhere in the vicinity of 16,000 words a day? A day. Now, if you tease that out over a lifetime, and the average life expectancy here in America is about 70 years or so, somewhere around in there, 77, 172. And so if we take that average there, we take the 16,000 words a day, average American then is going to speak over 420 million words in their lifetime. I mean, that's a lot of information pouring out of our mouths, right? And so all of that information is coming out. So that's one way that we communicate, though. We also live in a digital age, and so we recognize that it's not just what we say, but it's some of the things that we write or what we communicate digitally, because there's email, there's text, then we certainly have social media, and so there's all kinds of different ways that communication is pouring out of our lives. And so I found some information on that when it comes to the digital side of things. Did you know that about 275 billion emails are sent out every day? 275 billion every day. And then when it comes to social media, this is Facebook. Every 60 seconds, so you can just, it's like clockwork. The average shows us that 317,000 status updates, 400 new users, 147,000 photos uploaded, and 54,000K shared links every 60 seconds on Facebook alone. That doesn't take into account Instagram. That doesn't take account into things like Twitter, TikTok, all of that stuff. Like, there is so much information being poured out. And I think what begins to happen is if we stop and think about what is going on communication-wise, what we are saying, then there's a magnitude of importance understanding that God-honoring principles that applied to what Paul was talking about, what we'll cover here in Ephesians 4, those same God-honoring principles apply today in the many avenues that did not exist then but exist now. Those same principles rightly apply today so that we can actually move forward as disciples. And we look at what it looks like, both our in-person communication and our online communication, our digital footprint, if you will. So if the goal, again, the goal here, we see it come out in verse 13, that we would mature in our relationship with Jesus and that we would resemble him more and more every day, because it says that in verse 13. It's just like this, it's kind of hidden in there, and we'll see it come out again here in the couple verses that we cover, because this process of maturation, this moving into thinking and acting and being more like Jesus, this resembling him more and more in our lives, that begins to take place, as we covered last week, as pastors, teachers, evangelists, they come in and they exercise the gifts that God has given them so that they can declare the gospel. And as they declare the gospel, what happens in our lives is the truth begins to take root, and we're not tossed around. We don't go into every belief. We're not wooed by cunning, crafty trickery that some people could come up with. False doctrine, we're able to sniff it out and go, nope, that's not true. That's not true. And so we're not tossed around, and instead of becoming a victim in the sin-saturated world that we're wandering around in, Paul reveals that God is leading us down a different path. And that different path is outlined here in chapter 4, verse 15 and following. What we have is we see in verse 15 is he launches out this word called rather. In other words, these things were going on, so this is what, as the apostles, the teachers, and the evangelists share the gospel, and we are rooted in our faith, right, that we are not pushed around, shoved around, tricked by any false doctrine, so that's not happening. Rather, we begin to go down a different path. So this is a next level word. He's saying there's something coming here that is of immense importance that will help us in our maturation process. And so here's, it said, being tossed around, but instead, now we are to verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So now what we have here is we know the truth, and now we get to step into that reality and we get to speak the truth, and we're to speak it in a way that is loving because that displays the gospel well, right? That's how it begins to flow. So I hope that we can pause right here for just a sec and feel the gravity, the weight of what Paul has just written down by the Spirit of God leading him to pen this so that the Ephesian church could dive into it. It could impact them. And then here we are a couple thousand years later, and it could transform us as well. The magnitude of what he has just said there is so heavy, and as simply as I can say it, and you'll go, well, I know that. But here's as you look at this, I think one of the ways we can boil it down here is that our words matter. They matter. And how we declare those words, they really, really matter. I'm going to let that soak in for just a second. Our words really matter. I'm talking about whether we are having a conversation in the lobby, whether we are having a disagreement with our spouse, how we speak to our parents, right? I was a teenager too. I remember I knew it all, and my parents didn't know anything. And sometimes the attitude with which we come, sometimes how that flows, and even parents, how you speak to your children and not provoking them to anger, but rather speaking to them in love as if Jesus were in your very shoes and were speaking to them. I mean, those kinds of conversations. How about conversations with our bosses? And then this kind of stuff, like our online stuff, right? Like on stuff with that's a hot button issue. Not that there's anything like that going on. I mean, here we are in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of an election year with all kinds of crazy kind of going every time we open up our web news scroll, whatever it may be. It's like, this is happening now? Like just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, something else pops up, right? And how we handle those conversations, those are all hypothetical, not that you ever deal with that, you know, but I'm talking about like all of these things, how we engage in those spaces, how we speak, what we say, right? Those things matter. How we respond to an email, what we post online. Remember, the big E on the eye chart is that we would mature and that we would resemble Jesus in every way. Now, if that's the measuring stick, right? If you're like me, about this time, you're kind of going, oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, if I can compare myself to other people that I can pick and choose, sometimes I can look pretty good. But if now the measuring stick is Jesus, if you're like me, you're like, oh, man, I'm done. What am I supposed to do with that? If he's the one that we're supposed to measure ourselves by, how am I ever going to stack up to Jesus? Like, why even train and get in the race? Because I'm not even going to podium. There's no way to even score a point here. He's going to take first, second, and third. Like, I don't even get to stand. Like, there's no way that I can stack up to Jesus. So maybe why even try? I can't compete with that. But let's go back to the verses because I think there's two words in there that speak to that because you in and of yourself and me in and of myself and us as a body, yeah, we don't have it in our spiritual tank. We don't have enough horsepower to actually carry this out. But the Spirit of God is leading us in a place. Look at a couple times. There is a word that pops up in verse 15 and 16. It says that we are to grow up. We grow in this, and that the body, in verse 16, it grows so that it builds itself up in love. It's a growth process. Okay, we don't become like Jesus overnight. We don't think like him overnight. Our heart does not beat for the things that matter most to him overnight. There's an incremental change that happens over time. I think you have seen that in your life. If you were to look back 5 years, if you've been following him that long, or 10 years, if you've been following that long, and you can keep going back, it's an incremental change that happens. And if we look at the day by day by day by day, it can be super frustrating, right? Because it seems like it's so, like, not this again, not this still. How could I still be here? And even some of those things that we maybe have been journeying with him for 10, 15, 20 plus years, we're like, okay, there's still some maturity that needs to be developed in me. There is still work to be done so that I resemble Jesus. And that's a growing process. It's a stage-by-stage development. And as we learn the gospel, and we're transformed by the truth of the gospel and the truth of who Jesus is and all that he has done to rescue us in our sin, to redeem our future and restore our purpose here on this planet, it begins to take root in us. And so as that begins to take root in us, again, we're not tossed around. We're not tricked by false doctrine. We learn the gospel and we begin to rightly apply it. We begin increasingly speaking the truth in love. We're doing that in community. And then what happens is we increasingly become more like Christ, because that's where he's going to lead us. The things that we think, the things that we say, the way that we act, the attitudes we adopt, all of those spaces as we're navigating our life, we're doing that in such a way that if Jesus were there in our very shoes, that is what we would be doing. Like, it's just modeling our life after Jesus, because that's what the Spirit of God will lead us into. And check this out. It's not something that you manufacture on your own, because I know sometimes we hear this and it's like, okay, I need to be mature. I need to resemble Jesus more and more. Okay, I'm just going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to get after it. I'm going to put my mind to this and I'm going to try really hard. That it's somehow up to us and us figuring it out. And guys, it does not work. If that's where you're at and you figure it out, write a book, I'll buy it, first guy in line. It just never happened, and it's never going to happen, because we cannot get there. Obedience is ours to be found in following Jesus and keeping in step with his Spirit, as Galatians 5 talks about. Our obedience and all of that is fueled by the Spirit of God, and we can fully expect that the Spirit of God is going to lead us into that place. Because look what verse 15 says, that we would grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That is what he is gunning for. That is what the Spirit of God is leading us into, that we would resemble him in every way. And if that's happening, then what we see are some markers that begin to show up. And that's in verse 15. What happens is it involves Jesus leading us to speak truth. And so we need to define what that is. And then we're supposed to speak that truth in a loving way. So we need to also unpack what that looks like, because those two things are of incredible importance. And so what does speaking the truth actually mean? Like, what is that? What's speak the truth? Like, how do we do that, right? So speaking the truth, man, I read a ton of stuff. I listened to a pile of information. I did a whole bunch of research on this to find out what this meant, and as best as I can take all of that information and distill it down, here's what I got, okay? So this is a working definition that we can come out of here today with. If we're going to speak truth, then truth is this: taking biblical principles that we find right here, taking biblical principles that are found in this book that God saw fit to give us so that we could know him in his will and way. So there we have these, taking these biblical principles and sharing them so that it impacts people's actual choices. Sharing biblical principles in such a way that it actually impacts the way that they live. It impacts behavior that leads them to honoring Jesus. Okay? Taking biblical principles so that it actually affects actual choices in such a way that they begin to honor God in every way. Maybe one of the best descriptions of this comes from 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, check this out. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and following, here's what it says. All scripture, so everything in this book, all scripture is breathed out by God because he's not hiding. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to follow him. He's not making himself hard to find. He's right there. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Right there. So if we share truth, if we're giving the people biblical principles so that it affects their actual behavior, we can see all scripture is there to help people be equipped for every good work that God is calling them into. So to speak truth is actually working to benefit them. It's not my opinion that I'm sharing. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not an opportunity for me to be right. Okay, like, oh, clearly this guy on Facebook does not know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? And so they are wrong. I am right. Let me fire off. Now, it's not that we can't disagree either. Don't hear me say that. It's like, just you know, suck it up, deal with it. It's not that we can't disagree. It's not that we can't have cordial conversation around that. But are we taking information, taking scripture, and then bringing it to bear so that that person can actually honor God in their choices, in their life, in the way that they're living? Like, that's what we're after there. It's not just coming in and going, boom, watch this, I'm going to blow up their worldview because they're wrong and they need to know. That's not what this verse is saying. Like, to speak truth, it's super important, because as we're advancing in maturity, remember, we're not tossed around. Rather, we speak the truth in love so that we can grow up in every way into the head, who is Christ. But in order to experience maximum growth, that truth, those biblical principles, have to be shared in a loving way, right? They have to be shared in a way where the person actually receives them. And what I've found in my life is that's a fine art, right? That's a delicate balance there, right? It's quite the dance to try to figure out, how do I share this truth in such a way that it's loving, and it's checking my heart, making sure I'm not just trying to show them where they're wrong. It's not just sharing my opinion. It's not just proving a point. I'm not just trying to win an argument. But I'm talking about, no, I genuinely want what is best for them, and I want to share this in a way where they will actually receive it. And it actually hits fertile soil. It's like a seed that we plant. It hits fertile soil. The roots begin to take hold, and something grows, and there's incredible fruit that comes out of that. That's what ought be our end result. That's a marker of maturity. That's a marker of us resembling Christ. Because aren't we glad that Jesus didn't come here and go, oh, you guys, you messed up. It's over. That's all I have to say. Just wanted you to know I'm out. No, he handled us gently. He handled us humbly. He handled us in a tender way. He presented truth very, very clearly, and he made it very, very clear what we are to do with that truth, and he invited us to follow him, and then we get to journey with him. With him. That's how he handled us. And here's what I have found. That whole idea of sharing truth and doing it in a loving way, that fine art, what I have found in walking with Christ followers for many, many years is it's a very hard thing to do, but these biblical principles that speak into somebody's life that actually changes the trajectory of their life, I think most Christ followers follow this pattern. I'll share a little bit of truth, and I'll do it with a super gracious, overly loving way, where we emphasize so much the love side of it that we kind of back away from the truth sometimes, because we don't want to upset anybody, right? We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to create wake. We don't want to cause any bit of difficulty. Like I share a little bit of truth, but a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And that's not entirely bad. It's just that's what I see a lot of Christians err on. Right? They just don't want to make anybody mad. Kind of it's none of my business. I'll just let God deal with them, and I'll just kind of step away. But there's also the other side of the coin, because there are plenty of people. I've bumped into them. My guess is you bumped into them. Rather than being super gracious, they're like, no, they need to know the truth. And I apparently have been gifted by God in their life to be able to share that with them. And so I'm just going to rush on in there, and I'm just going to share whatever they need to know, because the most loving thing that I could do is share the truth with them. Like, have you ever been there and you're just like, whoa, it wasn't done very graciously. It wasn't done very lovingly. It just kind of felt like we were getting pounded with the truth, right? And so we err on the side. There are people that don't beat around the bush, and they just kind of head in there. Something needs attention, not much compassion, not much concern, and not very gently like Jesus has been with us, right? So here's one thing that I think would be a wise move for all of us, whether we're here today or whether you're online. That you would do this sometime before the day ends today, that you would evaluate where you're at. Which side do you tend to lean on? Are you the, I'll share a little bit of truth and I'll do it like, I'll just sandwich it with a whole bunch of love and grace and mercy. Like, I'm going to really go there. Or do you find yourself in a place where you're like, man, I think I just kind of go in with truth a lot and I kind of pound people with the truth and it doesn't come off very compassionate. Like, where are you? Which side do you tend to lean on? And then begin to ask the Spirit of God what it looks like to move into a place where there is balance there, where we're truthful and we do it in a loving way. And we do that so that maturity actually takes place in that person. And that's something that I think we could just spend a moment on before we leave the day behind us. And asking God to produce some consistency in us. That as we lean into the Spirit of God and participate in what He is doing in our generation, that you and I would ask Him what it is that needs to be exposed in us so that we can do this. It's a high calling, a difficult task, but I think it's one that Jesus is interested in leading us in, because maturity is what He's after. He wants us to resemble Jesus. He wants people in our spheres of influence to resemble Him in every way. That is clear. Like, we see that going down. Then you see Paul's readers in Ephesus, and here we are a couple thousand years later getting the same truth. We've heard the gospel because faithful pastors, teachers, evangelists have come and they have shared the gospel with us. Now we believe the gospel, and now we're participating in the work of God in our generation so that people will understand who He is and all that He has done. We're being equipped so that we can participate in that journey, so that as men, women, and children are being drawn to God, that we're positioned right there to share the gospel in such a way that they receive it and they can grow up into maturity, that we speak the truth in love, that we step in humbly and gently and in a servant-like way. We go in there and we're like, man, I want to help them with this so that they can make choices that actually affect their life in such a way that they honor God. We're participating with God. And then we mature, they mature, and it begins to impact others in God-honoring ways. And when I'm living out that reality, when you're doing it, when you guys online are doing it, when you guys over here are doing it, when we are doing that both individually and together, man, something crazy goes down. Let's go back to verse 16. When the church is firing on all cylinders, verse 16, so we're speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, us, we're joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. So you take your gift, you take your gift, you take what God has blessed you with. We're all doing what God has called us to do. Every joint with it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When the church, the people of God, are doing what God has called them to do, we are a force to be reckoned with. We move out from spaces like this. We move out into the world, and we humbly and gently serve others well. We're respectfully sharing and displaying the gospel because that honors Jesus in every way, right? And we grow in this, and we grow in every way as we mature. and as we resemble Christ. What an incredible privilege and calling, right? That's our calling. Like, that's what we get to do. So when we go out from here, man, we get to speak the truth in love. We get to actually speak into people's lives and help them towards their maturity, towards their understanding of the gospel, so they're not tossed around, so they too can then speak the truth in love. Because here's what I know for a fact, and I'm sure you could back it up. What's going on in our world is not very loving most of the time. There's a lot of tearing down. There's a lot of putting people in their place. There's a lot of crawling over somebody to get what somebody wants. And so when we as the church get this right, when we love each other well, because we're speaking the truth, we're doing it in a loving way, we're firing on all cylinders, becoming all that Jesus meant for us to be, we get to put Jesus on display in this generation right here, right now, not someday, but here, now. In 2020. That is our calling. That's what we get to do. We get to make much of him and bring him the glory that he rightfully deserves. And I can't think of anything that is worth your life than that, more worth your life than that, right? I mean, that's a pretty big deal. But I think the Ephesians got this. Now, I want to close with this. They took this, they ran with it, and then we see what happens, though, when we lose our focus. And in Revelation chapter 2, we see some red letters from Jesus. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he says this. He says in verse 2 of chapter 2 in Revelation, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not and found to be false. So you see, they did exactly what Paul had said. Don't get tossed around by every belief that comes out there, every false doctrine. They knew the truth. They were living in it. They were digging into it. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. You're standing strong and you have not grown weary. They kept at it. They were going for it. Like they were living in a way that honored God. But then verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. You see, these verses that we covered today in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, they started with love, speak the truth in love, and then they end in love, that build each other up in love. Because if we do not keep our focus on Jesus, if it's not about him, if it's not for him, if it's not making him known, then what will happen is it will become about us and we will not be known for our love. We won't speak the truth in love. We will not build each other up in love. We will not mature. We will not become more like him. But when we keep our focus on him, when we go away from here and our sole passion, our main drive is to keep our eyes and lives focused on Jesus, that is where we find the opportunity to grow up into maturity and resemble him in every way. And we're going to need the Spirit's power to do that. So let's ask him to lead us in that way. Okay, let's pray. Spirit of God, thank you so much for letting us dive into these words, to be impacted by this truth, to live in such a way that we can bring honor to Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you lead us in that direction, that our story is to make much of Christ, that you have called us into that, that we're not left to ourselves to figure it out, but that you bring conviction, and we don't want to settle at just conviction. We want that conviction to lead us to a place where we become more like you, that we keep in step with you so that we bring honor to Jesus, who will point us to our Heavenly Father and bring him the glory that he rightfully deserves. God, we want that pattern to play out over and over in all of our days, and we need you to make that happen. We don't have it in us to make that happen, but we do have you who leads us into life. We do have you who showers us with grace and mercy, who equips us, who shapes our hearts and minds to want what you want for us. And so we come to you and we beg you to use your power to transform us so that we actually do speak the truth in love, that we do mature in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we need you, we want you, we welcome you to do your work in us so that we can bring you honor in this generation and beyond, and that there would be an army of people who build up this world in love, who love and serve and bless and encourage and use our words and use our communication, who take opportunity to bless and serve and love others in such a way that their actual choices move them into a place where they honor you in every way. Use us in that space, God, and we pray this in the powerful and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.